But I can tell you that when we figured this out, I mean, we literally went from a 2 to 3x return on our ad spend on this funnel to some months I'm pushing 10, 11x by just this, I guess, what seems like maybe a subtle change. So yeah, if you're running a book call, whether it's to a VSL and then to a book call or to an application, I would highly suggest you think about what can I put together that I can give away for free. One, that's world class. Two, that's really going to help them move the needle.
Hey, we are back with another expert spotlight brought to you by The Vault, where ambitious entrepreneurs escape the grind and scale their businesses to unprecedented freedom and profit. Today, I am joined by Mike King, and so great to see you, Mike. Let's just dive in because we have a lot to cover. I think when you and I start talking, it just keeps on going. We geek out for so much, but share with me. You just finished describing something which I said, oh, I got to hit the record button. What is this? Because it was a big shift in, you know, the offers. And I don't think we can say who you were doing it for, but it's a big, you know, a very significant campaign.
Yeah. I think people are doing, high ticket funnels wrong, especially book call funnels. That's primarily what I've worked on the last 2 years exclusively with my clients. And for one of my clients, arguably my biggest client, where we spend a lot of money, we had this epiphany, or, you know, we just kind of figured this out. And what we figured out is no one, you know, there's that saying, give people what they want and then sell them what they need. Maybe that's the saying. I could be getting it wrong, but what we figured is this client offers training, and we were doing okay trying to take people through a normal funnel, get them on a book call, and sell them the training. But as you know, market sophistication increases, so people are aware of the sales mechanism. They're less leery to get on the calls. And, you know, training just isn't as, I guess, for lack of better words, sexy as it used to be. You know, you see diminishing returns on your high ticket book call funnels. So what we actually did with this client is we took some of their best stuff and we said, okay, what are the things they need before the actual training? And then we went through their catalog of things that they had, and we said, okay, let's put together something that's world class that we can give away to them for free that will, one, help them, that will move them further along in their journey, but will create this natural limitation where they get stuck, where then they, to go to the next level, they need our training. But by positioning in this way and giving away the, you know, the world-class lead magnet, if you want to give it a name, it makes it become their idea then that they need the end product, not your idea. And now I know that depending on where you're at marketing-wise, I know we got a lot of great marketers that follow this podcast and listen, that may seem super simple, but what's simple isn't always easy. But I can tell you that when we figured this out, I mean, we literally went from a 2 to 3x return on our ad spend on this funnel to some months I'm pushing 10, 11x by just this, I guess, what seems like maybe a subtle change. So yeah, if you're running a book call, whether it's to a VSL and then to a book call or to an application, I would highly suggest you think about what can I put together that I can give away for free. One, that's world class. Two, that's really going to help them move the needle. But then three is going to make it in their own mind that they then need what you really want to sell them.
Okay. And so I know that you do a ton of ads as mm-hmm. well. So when you're doing, so what often happens, which I'm sure you've seen too, right? We run lead gen campaigns and what's the complaint we get? Oh, they're not qualified, right? Mm-hmm. Is this solving that problem for you with your meta ads?
Yeah, it is actually solving the problem. And this is where you got to be strategic in what you're giving away. So you really have to think about your avatar. And who is it that you're trying to get on the phone? Okay. And then once you think about who they are and who you're trying to get on the phone, what are their biggest problems that normally maybe they'd pay you to solve? But that's short-term thinking. I would suggest that, what can you give them that you could, I guess, charge them thousands of dollars for that you can give away for free, because it's going to get you ultimately that customer and produce that high end back end that you're obviously looking for.
Right. So how are you setting this up in your campaigns? Are you doing like lead gen and then are you doing the sort of the traditional way, like you lead gen, then retarget them? Or like, how are you setting this all up with the whole new way Meta does stuff?
Yeah, both. Run lead gen and then drive to a landing page. And then they just have to enter in their contact info. And they get the document and then take them to a call booking page. You'll have obviously some people that will want to book right away. And then the majority of the book calls though come from the consumption of the lead magnet, right? Mm-hmm. So all throughout the lead magnet, let's say it's, I don't know, 30 pages long, all throughout there we'll have different calls to action for them to, book a call with the team. And we try not to use that language. We try to be a little bit more maybe sophisticated. So maybe an implementation call or something that's less threatening than, the general, book a call, a strategy session, whatever people are using. But yeah, it's significantly changed the economics for this business unit that I'm doing this on.
Right. And so because what I sometimes do is I'll do, like, if I have a lead magnet, I know they're going to buy something or book a call afterwards. I'll just run, I won't run lead gen. I'll put the lead gen funnel in a purchase campaign or something like that, mm-hmm. right? To try and force Facebook to give us better quality people. Is that what you're finding? Like, are you doing that at all too? Like, just because I can run stuff at scale.
Yeah. All my campaigns are purchase campaigns, but with the lead, but I've tested this pretty heavily, but with the lead event instead of, the purchase event or instead of the complete registration event or any of the other things that you would put, on your book a call funnels. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just set it up that way. And then, now obviously testing the ASC, the lead format versus, a manual campaign. I was just having a conversation with, Roy mm-hmm. this morning about that and how it just seems like, at least in my accounts, manual still beats ASC by mm-hmm. quite a bit. So,
yeah, I don't know. I'm just still on the fence about it. Like, it does work. But I think I would check too, like if you have, like, do you make sure that you have your advertising settings set on? Like, sometimes I find that the little settings make a difference,
Good or bad?
Good. Good.
Hmm. For your ASC campaigns?
Yeah. So for example, I have one where, so we on purpose want new leads to see a certain sequence of videos before they even see any offer whatsoever.
Sure.
So I'm running that there, like business as usual type of campaigns. But what I did was for the audiences and the advertising settings, I made sure that I replaced all the lists there and I excluded mm-hmm. all those people in the first 7 days. And that seems to have been really making a big difference because now because they run live events regularly. So now like those have been very steady for me now. And like, I've pretty much gotten to a point where I don't think I can actually beat the, cost per lead anymore, but also because like the quality is good. Like every time they run a live event, it's the same conversion rate. Like it's just very, very, very steady. And it wasn't like that until I did that,
Okay. That's great. Yeah. So, I got an event I'm promoting coming up. I'll have to give that a try.
Yeah. And just try that. And then I've been trying to do different things. Like on the ASCs, I'll try 0%, 30%. Right now I'm running two ASCs. One is 100%. just so it's basically like a retargeting campaign, and the other is 0% just to see, you know, what would happen there as well. So, you know, I don't know. You gotta try all those different things, but I feel like it's the more we dive into it, like that's where they're going. So I like, we have to figure this out, you know, cause it's just, I saw somebody on one of my Tuesday calls where we review campaigns and stuff. Somebody came to the call and I couldn't believe it. Like he showed me, he's like, he can't create any more business as usual campaigns with leads. It forces him into like a Advantage Plus shopping campaign for leads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. He does no more. He has no buttons available. Like I was like, sorry, you got to, that's it. Right. So it's coming. It's coming, you know?
It's crazy.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
I wanted to dive into the creatives and stuff that you do. Cause like, you are so, I love it. Cause we're like, we'll talk about ideas and then like literally 5 minutes later, okay, here's the ad. I spun it up. I'm going to test it now. So tell me about, what do we need to know about creatives? Like what's working for you now?
I mean, I try everything. Obviously you got to know the client, but most of my clients, they're pretty aggressive. So if I have an idea, they trust me and they'll let me try everything. So I've got a client right now where I'm doing all the popular action figure type style images from ChatGPT. That's actually working pretty good for their audience. I've got another one. I don't know if it's necessarily groundbreaking, but I'm running a lot of ads for another client where they've had they have some great testimonials. So I've been able to take those testimonials and position them as kind of like a before and after type of transition that's compliant with Meta, and show that, and then just in a bunch of different formats. That client, unfortunately requires me to have stuff reviewed by legal, and their legal is actually super cool. Okay. So one, I just sent a batch over to legal to review, but they're more like, National Enquirer type style. Mm-hmm. So think of that. With these, you know, kind of crazy headlines, but you know, they're true. I mean, this person, that's in the ads has gone through these transformations. I'm open to anything. I like to look outside of our industry, I guess, the internet marketing, but even what, you know, regular businesses are doing, or even weird businesses, you know, in what they've done and just incorporated. I mean, I've got a swipe file, I'm sure like you, that's got thousands and thousands of ads. So I just go in there and see what pops out. I got another client that's in the health space, and I saw that I just spun up some ads now before I was talking to you in Canva, where I saw a competitor that's not a direct competitor. They had really cool ads where they were showing dishes of food, and they had the food labeled, you know, like think carnivore, vegetarian, paleo, and then I'm going to using those type of images to talk about how this client's product can help them figure out what they should actually be eating, right? Like is carnivore really the right type of diet that your body's designed for? So those types of things. And then obviously, like we were talking before we started this, a bunch of AI stuff, with taking proven images and turning them into videos. I think that's a great way to get a good lift on things. And then, I don't know if you know this site. I think I dropped it in the chat. It's, I love this. It's thedailyvirals.com. It's not free anymore, unfortunately. It's paid, but it's amazing. And it aggregates all the top ads on TikTok that people are running. So you can get ideas for days about what are the styles that are working right now? What are the hooks that are working? I mean, It's got some pretty crazy stuff in there that you see because it's obviously TikTok, but yeah, it's
Yeah.
fantastic.
Would you do, I haven't tried this, but you know Tony the sign guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you
Yeah.
try that? Would you get the hooks and put them in because I've been trying memes and
Okay.
it's hit and miss because you it's just humor, right? But
Yeah.
I thought that might work too, just taking the hooks. No, doing the same style. Doing the same style. Well, you probably could do that with his, but because what he does is, right, he takes, just for everybody listening, right, he takes these viral hooks, which is like 5 seconds, right? But I think what's different, well, I've seen other people do this, but what he does is he reacts to it. So he doesn't just pretend it never happened. So, he might be like, that's weird, and then just start talking about his signs. Like, or he'll carry the joke over to what he's doing, like if he's wearing a costume or carrying a prop or something like that. I've seen other people do that on organic TikToks. There's another guy where he would start his TikToks and pretend he's in the middle of a weird conversation. So he'd be like in his truck, and then he starts it when he's turning, and then it's like, so that's why goats do that or whatever, right? And then he just starts talking about a totally different thing just as the pattern interrupts.
Yeah, no, those work great. There's I was doing some research for another client who's in the real estate space, and I found this lady. She's like super good at that. Like she had one where right, so realtors are gonna show a house, right? So she the shot was the house was in the background, so you see the street, right, with the house in the background, and she's standing in the street, and all of a sudden she gets run over by this car. Right. And then you're just like, and then she pops back up and she's like, shakes herself off. And then she's like, come on, let's go in the house and check it out. But just stuff like that. Yeah.
That's not
Super, super
violent to put
scroll
in an ad.
stopping.
Oh my gosh, that'd be
Yeah.
awesome. Yeah.
It worked great. It
Wow.
had thousands, tens of thousands of views on it.
Wow. So, like, where do you get your ideas for what to test? Because, like, we're always trying to think of the next crazy thing to test, right?
Everywhere. Daily life, yeah, whatever comes into my brain. I just try to consume as much as possible. I got a whole, well, I don't know if you do, but I got a whole burner email that I'm on all these newsletters, all these I just had an idea today was go through your clients' emails and then go by open rate. Right, sort by open rate, and then all the top ones with the highest open rate, try those as your hooks, right, for your ads. So
Right.
I'm not very good at just coming up with things from scratch, like new. Like I need to kind of see something and then I can like iterate it and make it my own. So
Right.
I've had ads that I've been running for maybe a year now where I've just, bolted different pieces on here and there to make it last or make it a little bit different, whether it's filming myself for one of them and putting it on the front, or it's I think I also got a really good ear for good hooks. So like taking a line out of one video and then mashing it with maybe my main video and then taking a line from another video and putting that in. So it's like this whole mashup, but it makes sense. If that answers your question.
Well, I mean, you definitely have talent for that, because I've seen, like I said, I've seen stuff where we gave a suggestion, somebody gave a suggestion, and then you just came back and showed what you created. Yeah, I could tell you really have an eye for that. What do you, so what's working for you now in terms of like the setup that you have inside of the ads manager? Like you said, manual is actually just killing it for you, right? Over Advantage Plus.
Yeah, manual, and I do a ton of bid caps,
Okay.
believe it or not. Yeah.
Like cost per result goal, or actually the actual bid.
Yeah, the actual bid cap. And I usually will set the bid cap at 2 to 3 times higher than my KPI. And then just watch it. Rarely have I ever like had it, like let's say my KPI, let's say I got to get leads and I got to get leads for $10. So I set the cap at 30. Rarely have I haven't even once seen it go up to 30. The range is usually anywhere from, on at least the campaign I'm thinking of, 8 to $15 depending on the day. But I think it's important to be aggressive with your bid cap. I like to be aggressive right out of the gate. Some people don't like to do that. They like to say, if your CPL needs to be 10, then I'm going to set a bid cap at 12 and then one at, 15 and then one at 20 and then see what's there. I just like to get, and I guess I'm a little bit more fortunate because on these campaigns, I'm actually responsible for the P&L, so I can be more aggressive
Right.
in the beginning
Yeah.
and not get in trouble from the client.
So what kind of audiences are you doing in these?
Yeah, I'm doing so my testing procedure right now is I usually like to try a single audience, and then when I find a winning audience, then making themes, right? And then having an interest stack. So like for example, for one of the products we're trying to target business owners. So I think everyone goes directly to what's the most obvious, which I will do to see to test the offer, right? To see if the offer is going to convert. But once I know that, I don't want to go to the most common sense interest, right? So I'm not going to go to all the business interest. I want to think of affinity interest where my people are in that maybe there's not as much competition. So for example, for like business owners, a real good stack that works good for me is softwares they might use, right? Salesforce, I can't even think of them off the top of my head, the tax, all the tax planning stuff, your CRMs, your HubSpot, stuff like that. And then I'm,
Interesting.
usually ABO, but right now, with all the ASC ones I just launched, those are actually all CBO.
Right. Yeah, it works better with CBO. It's so interesting. Like I love talking to so many different people because nobody's doing the same thing. Everybody's slightly different, and everybody has a success story of like why this works, right? And then also why it doesn't work, and you can't replicate it. So I just find it really fascinating. And now I'm like, okay, maybe I should go back and try more manual stuff to see if I can get that to work, So, yeah, you just have to keep testing, right?
You do have to keep testing because, in that, because I was just optimizing today for one of the campaigns and in the ASC campaign, right? So it's CBO, it's got three different ad sets. It's got a lookalike, it's got wide open, and then it's got my go-to interest stack in there. And it's been running for 7 days. And which one of those ad sets do you think is doing the best?
Your go-to?
Yeah. So it's
Okay.
like, they want you to go broad on everything, but even they're not giving,
Right.
the most impressions and dollars to broad. So it's like, yeah.
Well, I'm so, yeah, and I'm just, I don't know if you've d done any deeper dives into like all the stuff that they've released recently. I mean, part of it is they said, right, they said like, oh, it's behavioral targeting. So I'm also wondering if because your go-to stack has done so well, you're kind of trained your account to look for people who follow that pattern. I don't know, but that's another thing I'm doing is I'm going through all of my accounts just to make sure that the all the events that I all the events for the full funnel events are actually being sent over and seeing if that makes a difference on the accounts where we were only, doing leads. Like I have one where they do direct mail, right, after the lead. So I'm like not haven't bothered, tracking that at all. Now I'm like, okay, let's actually put the purchase information in and see if that makes a difference.
Yeah, do you typically, let me ask you a question. So for a client that has, let's say, multiple offers, will you use a do you set up a separate pixel for each offer?
I don't normally, but I prefer to run them in different ad accounts. But it depends, right? Like assuming that it's all the same audience, right? Like something similar theme. I don't, yeah, I just kind of I just prefer to do it in different ad accounts. That's all. Just kind of keep it separate, but I'll still use the same pixel because I figure it's how can it hurt when you're trying to get the same people? And then after I, like I said, after I just finished doing a deep dive into all this stuff this week, if they're actually focusing on behavior targeting rather than interests and demographics, then I figure you're still golden because you're selling different offers. They're all probably going to still follow a similar customer journey anyway, right? So that it may actually work in your favor going forward.
Yeah, I'm gonna test because I've seen some of your conversation and some of your posts inside the VIP group. Yeah, I want to test having an ad set where each video is a different awareness level or speaks to a different point in the customer journey, and see how
I'm going to
that
try that
works.
too. Yeah. So I'm just doing a lot of trying to get that message right. It's sort of like how you were saying in the beginning, right? Like you have to be very intentional about that lead magnet. And I think it shows the amount of work that you put in for that. So yeah, I'm just trying to come up with some really, really good stuff there. So I can, and also I think this is a theory because somebody else messaged me and he said, oh, like all my text ads are doing way better. And I said, well, I think like I'm wondering if the fact that we put headlines on stuff, if it just makes it more obvious for the algorithm to pick it out of all the millions of stuff that it sees. And so if we put the he my theory is like if we put the headline with text, it's easy for AI to read. We know this now. It can read the text in an image. So maybe that doesn't have to guess as much. Like, does that look like a car? Does it look like, you know, and then where does it fit? So
That's an
we'll see.
interesting
'Cause
hypothesis. My hypothesis would be that, de depending on the amount of text in the ad, right? So if it's like a your I don't know, I'll call it your standard ugly ad, right? Where maybe it has three or four lines of copy. I wonder if it's one, the stop rate, right? And then two, the time they that a person's spending reading that, which is the
Good
signal to the
point.
algorithm that, hey, if they want to keep people engaged, this is engaging. And that's the signal that they're using. See, here's the thing, right? Like, think if you were Mark Zuckerberg, right? And obviously he's not in control of everything, but you have this billion-dollar company, maybe trillion-dollar company. Why would you tell people what's working? Because then, they're just going to do what's working and you're not going to make as much money. Whereas if you don't tell anybody what's working or what to do, they're just going to spend way more money guessing and trying to figure it out. So.
Yeah, that's true. Google does plays the same games, right? It's all the same. So it's just, yeah. But anyway, just to kind of wrap this up, like what would you, so if you're talking to, you know, another media buyer agency or business owner, they're like, what do you think they need to know like right now? Sort of what are your last words of wisdom to them trying to figure out all the stuff that's happening and it's changing so fast as well.
Yeah, I think it all goes back to the fundamentals. One, you have to know your market and your customer. Pick up the phone and talk to them, or listen to sales calls, whatever you can do. There's gonna be, I can't tell you how many golden nuggets I've found doing that that have improved performance, whether it's in the messaging or I get an idea because I heard something in a sales conversation for a creative. And then the other thing I would say is, it really goes back to another fundamental. How can you best serve your customers, right? And to think about it as a long-term game. So maybe you sacrifice a little bit of immediate revenue up front, or you with everything that's available on the internet, eventually they're probably going to find what you know. So why not you just be the one to give it to them and give it to them in a way that's so great that they love you even more? And now they're going to consume more of your ads, more of your content, and then ascend up the customer journey with you quicker.
Awesome. Well, where can people find you if they want to keep going with this conversation? And I know you're not taking any new clients right now, but you may want more in the future. So.
You can my website, King Family Consulting, there, but then I'm on social most, well, sometimes you can find me on Facebook under Mike King. I've been kind of quiet for probably the last year, but if you message me or something, I'm open to have a conversation.
Awesome. Great. Okay, everybody listening, make sure you go message him. And he's super generous and kind. And he'll just tell you straight up the way it is. I know that's what I appreciate about you, Mike, all this the years that I've known you and I've just seen the posts that you make. It's like very authentic and you don't hold back. Like you just share, which is awesome. So thank you so much for that.
Thank
well,
you.
Well, everyone, this has been another Expert Spotlight brought to you by The Vault, where entrepreneurs find clarity, scale faster, and achieve true business freedom. And we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.